Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Atul Farde, Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer, Affinity Credit Union, Speaker, World CIO Forum, or WCF. Atul, you have an amazing history of significant impact in business, industry, technology, education, and societal contributions. Thank you for sharing your considerable expertise, deep accumulated insights, and wisdom with our audience.
Thank you, Stephen. I'd certainly be happy to share my experiences in terms of what's worked for me and what hasn't as much.
You know, Atul, just looking at your background, and you've done so much and in so many different kinds of domains or fields. So can you profile your multiple domain history prior to your current role, and then three valuable lessons that you wish to share from these roles?
Sure. Maybe I'll start off with my grad studies piece. I did my master's in biomedical engineering, and as part of my thesis, I wrote an expert system, which is a piece of software to diagnose thyroid disease. So that was my sort of first foray into a domain that I wasn't really trained for, which was physiology and healthcare and that sort of thing. And I really enjoyed that experience, stepping into something that you don't know a whole lot about and learning about it and then applying what you know to it to come up with some sort of a synthesis which is more useful and unique and innovative and that sort of thing. My first job was in the nuclear industry, and I actually ended up designing large information systems for the first one housed the cabling and wiring data for an entire plant. So you can imagine the size of this database. And then right after that, another large system that essentially kept track of all the equipment in that plant. So again, another massive database, and those systems are used worldwide today. So that was very interesting. After that, I started my own company, and as luck would have it, the first clients that came along, this was a consulting company, the first clients that came along were from the financial sector. And really the only link between what I'd done before and what I was about to do was the fact that the technology platform was common. It was an application of relational database technology and such. And I said, well, why not? So I ended up essentially writing a whole bunch of, or developing with my team, a whole bunch of programs to manage loan portfolios and on a large scale, and then that led on to mortgage processing and a lot of what I would call management information systems consulting. And I did that for a number of years. And a couple of years ago, I transitioned on to my current role. So, and along the way, I think I did a bit of work for the education sector as well. We developed some student registration applications, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I guess it's an eclectic collection of domains, if you wish. But the common factor, the underlying theme in all of this, is really the versatility of IT. You can use IT as a tool to solve problems in very different domains.
Atul, that was just really interesting in terms of, you know, your profiling, your multiple domain history prior to your current role. But can you get into now the details about the three valuable lessons that you wish to share from these roles?
Sure, and this is clearly a personal perspective. Number one, I think I've always found it important to nurture your creativity. I think it's typically a win-win in terms of both professional development and adding business value. So the creativity piece is important to me. Number two, I think there's a reason why it is still so difficult to turn software development into a predictable industrial process. And that's because software development is probably the hardest thing we've done as a civilization. That's my personal opinion. The reason it's so hard to, even today, have that sort of predictability about the development process is that it's not because the practitioners don't follow a defined process or anything like that. Despite doing some of that, there is still the fact that this is probably the hardest thing we've done so far as a civilization. And last but not the least, I think it's important to keep learning about new people, processes, and technology. Because what I've noticed is that innovation is often a matter of making new connections amongst these objects, if you wish. A lot of For example, when we took our engineering skill set into the healthcare field, a lot of things became possible because those techniques weren't tried in that domain before. And I'm sure that's the case with other interdisciplinary interactions as well.
Well, that's just, as I mentioned, a remarkable background. Now, can you profile the Affinity Credit Union and how you will achieve your mission and goals?
Sure. We're over 100,000 member owners, 44 branches located in Saskatchewan. We're one of the larger and definitely one of the fastest growing credit unions in Canada. So basically it's a full service financial institution. We also have insurance agencies. We've diversified into commercial real estate. From a technology perspective, our objective is to provide anytime, anywhere financial services to our members that are both convenient and secure. And to that extent, we're making investments in internet banking, in mobile banking, and also obviously in security.
Now, with Affinity, you wear two hats, as an overall business senior vice president and then as a chief information officer. How do you see these roles complement each other, and what are the areas of conflict, if any?
Sure. Wearing those two hats actually assures a better alignment between business goals and technological efforts. I do believe that technology should be the means to an end and not an end in itself, which sometimes that's how it happens. And typically our goals are better member service, better client service, and greater business efficiency. I don't know that there's an area of conflict as such, at least in our case, but I can certainly see some discussion around whether a particular technology investment represents say commodity spending or a competitive advantage. And that's because the time span over which a technology goes from being a strategic and competitive advantage to a commodity feature that all your competitors have is becoming shorter and shorter. So it really means you have to decide as a managerial team as to, is this a commodity investment that we're making, or is this something strategic? And a classic example of that in the financial services sector right now would be mobile banking. What used to be very leading edge not too long ago is now starting to become more and more mainstream. So that time span between becoming a strategic competitive differentiator and a commodity is shrinking. And that obviously causes some deliberation when you decide on approaches as a management team.
So some in the audience will like the career opportunity to be invited to boards and senior level management. What does it mean to be part of the executive committee for Affinity and for KIPS?
I give it some risk of oversimplification. I think it means always keeping the bigger picture in mind and making sure that your individual project efforts all add up to furthering your strategic goals. And if I can use an example from the software programming world, in those terms, you have to think more like an architect and not as much like a module coder, because the entire business over here is the system and not just the piece of software that you're trying to develop, that sort of thing. If you can step back and look at the forest as opposed to the trees, I think that's the viewpoint that you want to achieve and do it consistently.
What are your separate recommendations for vice presidents and to chief information officers for organizational and personal success?
Well, I really don't think I've been in this role long enough to make any recommendations per se to that particular audience, but I can certainly talk about what's worked for me. Oftentimes, the business side of the organization speaks a very different language from the IT side. And I think that a lot is at risk of being lost in this translation. So as CIO, I often have to be the translator. And doing this with integrity builds trust on both sides. And once you've earned that trust, it can actually make your job much easier and make you more productive, which obviously benefits the organization.
Now, what are the major attributes for success in computing based upon your experiences at Affinity and from your history in computing?
Number one, I think you have to make an effort to understand business processes and speak the language of business. I think it would be very unwise to work in an IT silo. Number two, I think all real-world decisions involve trade-offs, like the ones between, say, quality, time to market, and cost. You have to explain this to your stakeholders and develop consensus as to what's more important to them. And this is critical when it comes to meeting expectations of project success. Number three, and this is no surprise, security is everyone's responsibility. It's not just an IT function. Another one I can think of is in an environment of constant change, the effective documentation of work processes actually lowers risk and improves productivity. And this is something we often overlook. We spend a lot of time designing systems, but perhaps not enough time as we should in documenting them in an effective way to make them truly useful and meaningful. Another area where I've actually done a bit myself is you do have to spend the time in creating a learning network by reaching out to colleagues in other divisions, to peers in other organizations, to partners, academics, even students, customers, and just other interesting people from all walks of life. And a lot of innovation, I think, springs from making these new connections.
You recently became a founding executive for a new organization of large credit unions. What prompted this founding, and what do you hope to accomplish, and how will you do this?
Well, Stephen, it's essentially a consultative group made up of the CIOs of the largest credit unions in Canada. And the idea is to pool our efforts and to share best practices. Maybe I'll just share our mandate with you over here. And it is to basically use our collective knowledge and national presence to provide technology leadership and innovation to enrich the financial lives of our members and also strengthen the competitiveness of Canadian credit unions. So essentially, we're trying to get together on a regular basis and exchange ideas and see how we could work better together and share best practices.
In your current role, what are the top challenges and then the top opportunities?
In terms of opportunities, and these are discussions that we have on an ongoing basis, so in terms of opportunities, I think I do believe that as we diversify more and more in an effort to serve our members better, I think this diversification will bring new opportunities to leverage technology to deliver those outcomes to our members. Mobile banking is clearly a big opportunity. It's an entirely new computing platform, and it's perhaps going to change the way we compute, and obviously everything that we do with computing, and financial services is a big part of that. So that's clearly an opportunity in the years ahead. From an internal efficiency point of view, I think back office process automation, now obviously we've been talking about this for decades, but there's still lots of opportunity there in terms of making our internal processes more efficient with some of the new technologies that are emerging, and some that are quite mature that we just haven't applied in the way that we could perhaps have. In terms of challenges, I think keeping up with customer expectations in the technology space in a cost-effective manner is definitely a challenge. Obviously, if you spend enough money, you can provide just about anything that's available in the market, but to do so at a price point that you can live with, that's where the challenge comes. And it's meeting those expectations, that's certainly a challenge and has been for a while and will be going forward as well. The second one, I think this will resonate with a lot of people, a lot of managers outside of IT as well. It's always a challenge, always has been, to find enough people who are creative, competent, and committed. So to get all three of those in one package, I think it's a bit of a scarce commodity, and to just find enough of them will likely continue to be a challenge. And last but not the least, I think, and I speak from a system design viewpoint here, striking the right trade-off between security and convenience is, I think, going forward, especially for financial systems, it's going to be an ongoing challenge to the point of perhaps being an art.
So I frame the questions in terms of your current role, but if we could sort of take a broader perspective, then what would be the top challenges and top opportunities in the financial services industry? And I'm sure there'll be some overlap.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of overlap, as you can imagine. In terms of opportunities, again, mobile banking and mobile payments and all the innovation that's happening in that space would definitely be an opportunity, and that should be no surprise for people in the industry. Again, diversification opportunities or ventures will create their own opportunities as well, so I think that's common. A third piece, again, which should come as no surprise to people in the industry is there's likely going to be a massive transfer of wealth in the next few years and decades as wealth transfers from one generation to the next one. And that will create a lot of wealth management opportunities for our industry in terms of how to help people manage that transfer and make the most of it. And so clearly that's a long-range opportunity that's almost inevitable. In terms of challenges, I think what we're seeing is, and technology is a big reason for this perhaps, is we're seeing a commoditization of core banking services. And that's because, you know, technology is a big leveling influence, and that does lead to commoditization over time. So that's a challenge for a financial institution in terms of how to differentiate itself and how to position itself as having something different from its competitors that's compelling enough to the member or to the client. There's increasing fixed costs for things like regulatory compliance, and IT can play a big role in sort of managing those costs, but it's a fixed increasing cost, I would say, and necessary, quite necessary, but it's something that needs to be managed. And last but not the least, obviously security. It is a challenge, and it certainly means that we have to be agile and effective in our response to it.
So what specific technology should business and IT executives be embracing today and in 2 years and 5 years?
Well, this is what I find interesting at this point anyways, you'll see a recurring theme here. Mobile banking and mobile payment systems are obviously of great interest to us. I think the other piece that will almost inevitably play a role is the whole notion of cloud computing. Although I would throw a caveat in here and say appropriately configured. So there's legitimate concerns about security, about control, about where the data is located and any regulatory impact depending on where the data is located. And all of those are legitimate concerns, and we need to address them. And therefore, I'm just going to sort of qualify that by saying it's appropriately configured and procured cloud computing.
Now, can you forecast job trends this year and next?
Well, I'm not too much into forecasting, but I can't imagine any economy where there isn't a high demand for people who are, like I said before, creative, competent, and committed to professionalism. Getting all three of those in one package is not easy, and I think and there's nothing to suggest that that one can't, one cannot develop those skills to some degree. So if you manage to hit that spot in terms of having that combination, I think that there'll always be a high demand for people with that sort of a skill profile.
What are your current projects, and what one lesson can you share from each of your major projects?
Well, we're doing a fair bit of work right now on enhancing our internet banking platform and also on the mobile banking piece. There's quite a few features that we're hoping to add, but if there's a generic comment that I can make about that whole initiative, and again, I'm repeating that piece here because I said it before in a different context, it's striking the right trade-off between security and convenience. We always have to be mindful of that, and I think to some degree, while you can learn from what other people are doing, there's a bit of that which is almost an art, and obviously there's quite a bit of science behind it as well. We're also about to do a fair bit of work on enterprise content management, which is process automation and document management and paperless processing and all of those good things. What I do believe is needed over there is, I think, a detailed process analysis is key to really maximizing the return on that investment. I don't think it's enough to just pick a piece of technology and throw it at that problem and hope you get a solution. I think your really big ROI is going to come when you take the time to analyze your processes and ask yourself, this is how I do this task today, but how should I be doing it really? And be prepared to change your process. And then once you've optimized the process, then apply the technology to make it faster, cheaper, better. So there's a lot of due diligence there. It's a lot of hard work. And I do believe there's a payback at the end. But the emphasis on the process analysis, to me, is key.
Why would you recommend people get involved in KIPS? the Canadian Information Processing Society?
Well, for starters, it is our professional society as IT practitioners, so it only makes sense that we do that. Secondly, though, it's an excellent forum to align our individual career interests with the public good. I think society benefits when IT professionals innovate via collaboration by promoting certification and standardization and by adhering to a code of ethics. I think in that sort of scenario, it's a win-win, and it makes a lot of sense for every IT practitioner to be involved with KIPPS and to become a member and be an active member.
What special KIPPS activities do you wish to profile, and why should the IT community get involved?
Well, I would certainly, as a practitioner, I'd look into the ISP and or the ITCP designations. There's a lot of advantages to doing that. The ISP is the only IT designation recognized at law in Canada. With the ITCP, you get international portability as well, which for a lot of other professions, never mind international, it's hard to get even national portability between provinces. So it's to me, it's extremely attractive that you get this international portability, which could mean a lot of opportunities for people to move around and experience different cultures and different markets and that sort of thing. With both of those designations, you do get a lot of credibility with employers. So that is, right off the bat, I think that is something that people in IT should look at if they haven't already.
Now, please make some predictions for the future, their implications, and how we can best prepare.
Wow, that's an interesting one. Well, I'll say this. As we get more connected via technology as societies, different parts of the world, I'm hoping that we will hopefully understand each other better and along the way, consciously or unconsciously, cherry pick best practices from each other and somehow in over the long term become more reliant on each other.
Now, there's this IFIP, the International Federation for Information Processing, World CIO Forum, or WCF. Why should IT executives participate or attend this forum?
Well, I think, for one thing, to listen and to learn, to share and to form new connections on a global scale, because I do think that despite our many, many differences, which we tend to emphasize, we're all really trying to solve the same problems for the most part. So it doesn't really matter whether you're an IT exec from Europe or China or wherever. It helps to see the same problem being solved in different ways, and that's what I think would be the biggest takeaway from an event like that.
Now, can you profile your expected outcomes from your talk at the World CIO Forum?
Well, pretty much what I said before, and perhaps to that I would add to exchange ideas and to explore new partnerships in terms of how we could solve the problems on our to-do list better, faster, cheaper, better, I guess.
What are your thoughts on computing as a recognized profession like medicine and law with demonstrated professional development, adherence to a code of ethics, and recognized credentials?
Well, it only makes sense, doesn't it? In my opinion, IT has done more to change the world in the last few decades than likely any other profession. I think there's hardly an activity now that doesn't depend on IT. We all seem to agree that doctors should be licensed, and then you look at the impact of diagnostic imaging technology and bioinformatics, say, on healthcare in the last few decades. And these advances, as you know, were largely tech-driven. So the question I would pose is, shouldn't the IT professionals behind these advances be recognized in the same way as well?
That's interesting. Now, if you were conducting this interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
Well, that's an interesting one. maybe I'll sort of focus on some of my background here. I guess, why did I leave India many, many years ago, where I grew up? And I think the answer to that was part adventure and part a quest for independence, if you wish. From India, I came straight to Saskatchewan, which is perhaps not the usual destination for people leaving that country. And the reason I came here and the reason, more importantly, that I stayed here is the people here in Saskatchewan and the great outdoors. I do enjoy hiking and canoeing quite a bit, and there's certainly no dearth of that in terms of opportunity over here. Last but not the least, and I think I've sort of talked talked a bit about this before. Why did I choose a career in IT? Because it is such a versatile problem-solving tool. I think with IT, you can solve problems, as I've mentioned before, in areas as diverse as energy production, education, healthcare, and even banking. So to me, it's almost like having many careers in one.
Well, that's interesting. Again. So, you know, Atul, you've got this amazing background, as I mentioned. You've done a lot, and I know your schedule's really, really tight. So, you know, we're really appreciative that you're able to come in to do this interview. And, in fact, we're deep fortunate to have an expert in so many domains share their view with the audience, and that is specifically your expertise, your experience, your leadership, and so on. So, again, thank you for spending this time with our audience.
You're very welcome. The pleasure is all mine. And I don't know about the expert piece, but I've certainly dabbled in quite a few things.
Well, again, thank you. And I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Atul Varde, Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer, Affinity Credit Union, Speaker, World CIO Forum, or WCF.